Welcome to the Blunt Force Gamers comedy show. Kind of, sort of. We're going to go back into a role-playing topic, and it's me and Kazrakan today because everybody else has real-life aggro due to jobs and medical issues and stuff.
Being weenies!
Whatever. So today's topic, making annoying characters for your role-playing game. Because, well, we all just need to cut loose every once in a while. So we're going to depart from our more serious attitude of, you know, be a good character in role-play, too. Yeah, if you get a chance to play a character who's weird, here's some ideas for you coming up right after our intro. Kazrakan, roll the intro.
Oh, right, that's the button.
Feeling tired at the gaming table? Want to hear foul-mouthed jackasses poke fun at gaming companies when they screw up? Want an honest, street-level opinion from a team of gamers that call it like it is? Then Blunt Force Gamers may be the podcast for you.
Listener discretion advised.
So Kaz, you know that one of my concept characters that I still want to fucking make, and I crunched the numbers on this one, like, extensively, and I finally just, like, Pathfinder has a way to do it. I can make a Lolimancer. That's right, a spellcaster who summons lolis, because it's fucking hilarious, in my opinion.
I think you were talking about this. It's like the character's whole shtick is like, we summon storms and thunders in my family, and I'm stuck with Oni-chan arrested!
Oh my god, that's just too appropriate, dude. The microphones are picking up the sound of car sirens. Sounds like police. Right after I mentioned Lolimancer. Yeah. Dude who summons overly cute anime girls to do his fighting for him. But hey, I mean, if you want to get thematic with it, I could have, like, Ebola-chan, I could have Earth-chan, right?
Any of the chans.
Not Bridget, the one with the two different color, Desu. Yeah, you could have Desu as, like, one of your, like, fucking lolis running around. I mean, how could an enemy take you seriously when you attack him with, like, a little girl who's about 3.5 feet tall and has a warhammer shaped in the style of an oversized, like, lollipop?
Whap!
I mean, that's ludicrous as fuck right there. So, yeah, shit, man, all these ideas in my head suddenly are gurgling up. Because especially when it comes to monks and bards, those are, like, the two easiest to make comedy characters out of.
I had a guy we were playing with, he made Ken Masters. Straight up, he made Ken Masters. And he roleplayed it really, really well.
My best friend because he's better than I am.
Actually, more like he got ripped out of his own world, and he's like, the fuck is going on? Sort of thing. That was a fun little set.
I don't know, the one that hit me a while ago was doing a monk, and then making it, because you can do, like, fighting styles with monks, and of course in Dungeons & Dragons, they have, like, Gorgon's Fist, and Efreeti's style, and Demon style and stuff. I'm like, what if you made a monk whose fighting style was based off of interpretive dancing? It's just
monk bard slap. Go.
It just interpretive dancing, you know, like the enemy comes forward and what do? I'm a sad tree. Oh, look at me, I'm a sad tree in the wind that I blow to the left to avoid getting hit in my tender bark. Yeah, exactly, dude. An interpretive dancing bard. That's one of the ones that hit me a while ago. Of course, interpretive dancing monk bards, though, however, they're just too easy.
Right.
Like, one of the ones we had, and that kind of spawned this idea a few years ago, was we had a guy who wanted to do, like, a bard, like a goblin or a halfling or a gnome or a similarly short race with, like, a pair of oversized crash cymbals.
Just running around, funny monkey!
Yeah, he just, no, not even funny monkey, like, battle starts out, and he's like, I play a song of my people to inspire my cohorts and my companions into more valorous glory. And it crashes the cymbals one time together. He's, take a bow. What the fuck? Or, you know, his backup instrument would be a triangle. Just bards and monks are so easy for goofy-ass concepts.
You know? It's like their whole shtick, almost. Monks are more serious.
Monks are more serious.
Bards are really easy to make fun with. Speaking of bards.
Bards are the easiest.
I had a crazy idea for a soul-forged bard, right?
All right.
Guy dies, goddess resurrects him, he's now basically walking around as a living suit of full plate mail, right? Full plate armor. Well, he's hollow. So what do you do with that? You concave yourself into a steel drum, like the Jamaican steel drums, and you let the enemy hit you, and you angle your body so that their strikes make your notes.
All you need after that is like a backup singer with dreads.
Pretty much.
You having a fun time, man.
Yeah.
Bing, bada, ding, bing, 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 bing. All right, battle is on, man. After this, we blaze it up pretty good, yeah.
I think another one, also a bard, because apparently I like those, was a catfolk with bagpipes.
Okay, I was thinking that for a moment there would be a lot of caterwauling and just walking around.
His
singing voice is caterwauling like he's in heat or some shit.
And then, you know, but let's think about this. Cats have claws. What do you need to do for a bagpipe? Not puncture it.
Exactly. Well, where your hands are placed on the bagpipe, you don't puncture it.
Yes.
But for silly character ideas, definitely bards. They're so easy.
Right?
You just go crazy, especially with, like, you can play one in Lederhosen with a Glockenspiel, and boom, comedy character.
Yeah. Yeah, you can.
Or one of the classics we had, and, you know, it leans on the whole weird concept stuff. And it's been conversed over the years, man, even before I got into role-playing, which basically you make, how should I say it? Because, you know, so we don't get flagged as hate speech or some shit. A dictator / country leader from around real life years of 1936-ish with a very distinct toothbrush-shaped mustache.
Ah, that one.
Yes, that gentleman right there.
Likes to be an artist?
Former artist. They consider him a failed artist even though he's made one of the most recognizable images in our modern era ever seen. Everybody knows exactly what the fuck it is. Yeah, him.
That guy.
That guy, who used to be a really... And honestly, he is a great orator. And that's where a lot of people go into this, is they do a bard based off of him with oratory as his perform skill. Mm-hmm. And he goes in the villages, and the elves are the problem. You must deal with the elves. These are human lands. And just goes off about how evil and horrible the elves are, and, you know...
Full victim card.
Full victim card about how humans are being trounced on by the elves, because, well, if we go into Tolkien's writings, the elves actually are the bad guys in their own way. They're better than humans in every way, because they were technically humans who were born without sin, or some shit.
Some pedantic shit.
But yeah, one of the ones that's come up for a comedy idea was making a... him, because they never found the body, so basically he gets transported to the magical world of Dungeons & Dragons and starts campaigning against elves.
Or something.
You know, and at level 7 gets the leadership feat, so people start buying into it. Yeah. That was a comedy one that's come up a few times.
Yeah. Let's see.
You have a lot of wiggle room, but just so many. All right. I'm still waiting for that. We actually had one. Because I know you're thinking here real fast, and it just hit me. So while you're thinking, I just want to mention about one of the fighters that we had. And the fighters are, you know, mid-tier for funniness. You can't,
they can be. It depends on how you do it.
Yeah, we actually had one who actually did ramp up the goofy factor. His holy weapon was a squeaky sword. It looked like metal, swung like metal, felt like metal, but when you hit an opponent with it, it would squeak like a squeaky bat. I don't know why he went with it, but the dude's like, two battle, squeak, 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 squeak. That's what battle sounded like, you know, just metal clashing together, but every time he impacted something, there was a squeak. And that was the weapon he wanted. This wasn't a gag or a curse or a joke. This is the weapon he specifically went out and asked the wizard to make. So you have your dead serious, you know, I am the man who has conquered an entire army. You know, I'm basically Conan, but, you know, with armor and not as buff. And this is my great sword, Venom Fang. Squeaka, squeaka, squeaka. So he was like dead serious, except for combat. See, he just had that one joke that was reoccurring. It's like, why, dude? And he never explained it.
it worked. You laughed about it.
It did.
You remembered him.
I remembered him.
So it worked. Whatever it is. All right. I got a weird one for you.
All right.
A Kenku barbarian. Kenku can't talk except by mimicry. At all. So they can hear something. Like, they could hear Goblin talking about the guy with his squeaky sword and perfectly replicate it. But they could not, and they could take, like, a word here, a word there, a word here, but their voice would fluctuate through other people's voices throughout that.
God, that sounds terrible to roleplay.
It would be hella fun, especially...
It would be hella fun, but hella terrifying at the same time if that Kenku's character grew up as an orphan or, like, shit. Child in a establishment for adult proclivities. So half of their, like, vocabulary in different voices, of course. You got man's voice, women's voice, you know, elderly woman's voice. It's just
elvish voice, dwarf elvish voice.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be...
That would do it.
That God, just think about trying to roleplay that, you know. Just, damn. Especially
character level hardcore mode.
Character level hardcore mode for roleplay, especially, you know, if you're trying to describe something and not use adult metaphors. Where did you grow up? A house of ill repute. What? You're just all over the fucking place. Wow, that's fucked up.
But their upbringing has given them a pretty deep-seated anger issues. Hence, this little, you know, 3-foot crow-looking motherfucker walking around with a sword, appropriately sized for him, you know, short sword.
But
and then, like, either combat starts and they just go balls to the wall, rage screaming. And, like, it's not even one guy, it's like 15 guys all just erupting from this little bird thing.
Actually, there's an idea for you. How about this? Player wants to make a goofball character, but the only space left is for the healer. Alright? So that means you're pretty much predominantly stuck with cleric. What if you decided to make your cleric, first off, depressed all the time? So he's a very depressive dude. Just kind of like Eeyore. Just
very Eeyore.
Just, oh me, look at that, we're taking damage, I have to heal people. Right? So he's a depressed cleric. You know, I guess he can heal people if he has to. Again. But then you ramp it up one extra step. Not only is this cleric depressed all the time, but he's also manic depressed. So maybe the player's rolling like a D100 below 50. For that day, they're depressed. Above 50, they're manic. But when they're in a manic mode, they have a sense
of... Sheogorath.
No. They have a sense of humor. The problem is that it is a deadpan sense of humor. So you don't know... Which side is talking when? So they could be like, I'll guess I'll heal you if I have to. And then you're like, is this depressed cleric or cleric who's poking me in the ribs having a little laugh? Because, it, you know, it's just deadpan humor.
Yeah.
So how do you interpret somebody who's like depressed and has deadpan humor at the same time?
You can't really do that.
I'm trying to wrap my head around it with it. As for a silly character, that would just be off the wall, because you never know if this guy is, like, legit or not.
Right?
And they're not insane. They're actually being a character. They're being themselves. They're not, you know, rubbing grandma's feces in their hair while spanking it to the royal archives of the great history of how they defeated all the dragons and became a kingdom. No, this is just a dude being a dude.
Sad dude.
He's a sad dude if, click, 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 he rolls under 50.
Alright. Also on the healer scope.
Oh, let's hear it.
The germaphobe. Healer is your germaphobe. Like, it got to the point where, you know, the character who's, or the guy who's playing that character got the DM to build him a lotion. He built him a hand sanitizer in-game.
Hand sanitizer.
It functions exactly the same. It's like of cure disease or something. And he would just splat. Just icky. It's like... So oh god, it's icky.
So you have a healer who's a hypochondriac.
Not quite a hypochondriac, a germaphobe. Because he's very well aware of what's going on with him.
What if this character was also, say, in away from the adventuring group? You know, so you got downtime. What if he's also an anatomist? What if this guy actually has to cut people open to study them to, you know, raise his heal skill?
Oh, God.
I mean, is this guy running around in, like, full plague doctor, giant black leather gloves?
You know, he probably could be. Like, at that point, you know, that would be hilarious.
I don't, we had one that was somewhat fucked up, and it wasn't me for a change. Surprise, surprise.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, because it was a halfling.
Of course.
It sounds kind of like me, but, you know, I just generally like not being hit. And halflings are kind of hard to hit. But this particular halfling was a bisexual Lothario with skills in dirty limericks and some of the worst pickup lines you could hear at the roleplay table. I thought mine were bad. I mean, I was playing an evil Jaren one time, which is an offshoot of halflings, and I said one thing that just, like, made the GM cringe. And I thought, you know, hey, there's my merit badge.
Wait, was this the guy, the character who went up to a guard and went, "So you want to fuck me like a girl?" Was it that character?
No,
or was
no,
this
my,
another one.
No, my Jaren said something similar to a dude. We were trying to interrogate a guy. You know, we wanted to take him somewhere to private, get information out of him, and if need be,
gack him.
Handle things without having to gack the dude or torture him. So, you know, first line was to come in, you know, try honey before vinegar.
Right.
And he didn't want to talk to us. And my halfling, my Jaren at the time, she's asked the dude, I made it like the bluff check and everything, if she could borrow his daughter's clothes and they could go out and play pretend. But she was evil, so it didn't matter to her. She was just going to kill him anyway if he said yes. But the Lothario I'm mentioning is another dude entirely. And this dude, like, he was like a bard who wasn't a bard.
Oh.
A scald who wasn't a scald. Yeah. He was more of the melee type. I believe his class was paladin, actually.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, he was like, it was like paladin of Cadyn Colleen, who's like the god of do stuff, whatever, get drunk. So, like, this halfling is just running around, like, just having a good time, because life was a party kind of deal. And so he was always trying to party with the women, you know, on the downtime, you know, we get back to town. He's like, oh, I'm just going to get me, you know, some lick and split and hit it and quit it. And we're going back to adventuring. But then he'd, like, walk up and he'd, like, open up his little book of dirty limericks and use this as his pickup lines. And, of course, since he was bisexual, it didn't matter. He just, like, is there anybody cute around? He just didn't specify any cute girls or any cute guys. He's just, anybody cute? And the GM is like, that's pretty subjective. And he's like, shit, I'm in the mood for orc today. Any cute orcs? And, like, the GM would facepalm, and like, this little halfling walks up to an orc, breaks out a book of dirty limericks, and he's like, there once was a woman from Venus. And you hear the die roll, and, like, the orc would be like, oh, God, no. This dude would proposition anything.
It had legs, it's worth it.
Pretty much. He wasn't bisexual, actually. He was trisexual.
I think pansexual. Anything and everything.
No, he did have a few limits. Hmm. There were age requirements. Unlike Lando Calrissian, this guy respected this thing called age. You know.
That's fair.
But yeah, he was a weird one, and yeah, just... When you get into adult humor, you know, it's easy to get lowbrow real quick. But
I mean, that's taking it to the deep end.
This was taking it sort of the deep end, but he made it work. Just because he had rules in play of, like, how far he would go.
Yeah.
You know, so it was just like, oh, we're going back to town. What's he going to sleep with? Take your bets.
How much gold did you win with those bets?
None.
Oh.
None, because I always bet on myself. It's called being a megalomaniac. Like, I am the wizard. I am great and powerful. Do you know what I can do? I can turn that house into gold if I felt like it, but instead I adventure for my gold. I earn it instead of just take it, because I am better than the common person. Oh, the halfling is nearby. Bets on me. I know he likes a man of great intellect and excellent power, and, might I add, taste. Because I have excellent fashion taste. I am not just a wizard in a stupid fucking robe with a great beard. Why is he... What? No! The Kennel Master! Shit! I'm down 5 more gold. That was usually my roleplay session. I've lost 5 more gold because, god damn it, how can that little halfling want to roll around in the pig trough? What a sick little bastard. I thought he had taste.
Definitely an interesting story.
Well, you can always get away with some weird shit. And, like, fuck, one of them we had... Oh, god, that was a burp.
Belch, belch, belch.
No, that was Mountain Dew going up the wrong pipe or down the wrong pipe or something. It's
weirdness.
It's probably God cursing me for actually telling a story about somebody else's character for a change instead of my own. But that halfling was fucking memorable.
Yeah.
We also had one. It was a fighter. Kind of like a fighter. Shit. He was like quasi-barbarian due to his feats. I wanted to say he was barbarian at first. But this guy was a fighter for the most part with a few feet sprinkled on, so he could like tap into that orcish blood and be like, bad man, bad.
Yeah. Bad man get hurt.
He was a cross-dresser.
Okay.
Yeah.
Character male dresses female. Yes?
He was character male, identified as male. Not like my my joke about the character who is born male, dresses as female, but identifies as a male. Or whatever, you know, just like...
Identifies as female.
The triple conundrum fucking...
Wibbliness.
Boom of logic error. But no, this particular orc, he was a dude's dude. You know, like, he was manly, you know, he played football back in Orc High, kind of manly.
Right.
We always talk about his great exploits before he left the clan, of how he got the great touchdown and broke another orc's spine, getting, you know, whatever, you know, just...
He was a manly orc.
He was a very manly orc. This was the dude you would call to stand by you at the fence line and smoke cigars, drink beer, and talk about hunting.
Or proceed to go fuck shit up.
He was an orc's orc. You were in a bar fight, this is the dude you want on your back.
Well, working with you, not strangling you.
Well, not strangling you, for sure. he was total alpha male orc. You know, no problem was too big that, you know, hitting it enough times would not solve it. Or at least make you feel better. You know, he's like, oh, the wagon wheel fell off. Can you hit it with a hammer until it works? Nope, but I'll beat the shit out of it. You know, orc's orc. But the thing was, he wore a yellow pastel sundress that he got one size too big so it would fit over his armor. So instead of a tunic, he was wearing a jerkin.
Ah.
A jerkin is what goes over armor. But instead of a jerkin, he would wear this sundress and a woven straw woman's gardening hat. This was his choice of wear at all times. And when it was like formal occasions, he'd get like a dress with corset and everything. And of course, we'd be like, why do you wear these things? You know, because he's an orc's orc. And he's just like, I like the fabric. It's soft. Feels better on my skin. Men's clothes are so rough and coarse. I mean, and it's cut so weird. You know, it's just like, what the fuck, dude?
That was not where I expected to go.
So we had that one as a funny one. No, he just... It wasn't because he was like a sexual deviant or anything. He just liked the fabric. Because women's clothes smelled better and reminded him of, like, happier times. And the fabric is usually softer, so he'd just walk around in, like, a summer dress or women's clothes. You know, just like, he'd be walking across town in his dress and be like, oh, there goes our orc. Don't ask him about it. And somebody eventually would be like, why are you wearing a dress? He's like, well, sometimes, you know, you can just lift up your dress and let everything breathe. It's a hot day. You don't need all that sweat building up. I mean, that's how you get, you know, rot and, you know, bad things happening. You know, for health reasons. And it's like, he'd always come up with these legitimate excuses. And he's just like, okay, dude, whatever. So this orc, yeah, we just stopped asking questions. So just this orc in a fucking summer hat would just charge in the battle. Just let him go.
All right. I got a party idea for you.
Oh, a party. A whole party of weirdos.
Whole party of weirdos. Now, they're not individually weird on their own right. But their war cry, as a group, whoop, 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 You get like 20 guys doing that. All of a sudden, you've got this, you know, ragtag band of halflings, dragonborn, tieflings, and like Azimar or dwarves, just all whooping like Zoidberg at the end.
Yeah, it's just one Zoidberg is enough. 20 of them. Actually, that'd be a great idea for a character. You know, is like to pull that Zoidberg line. Like when everybody's talking or whatever, have that one guy who always, like, especially if he makes a character who's just barely keeping up with the rest of the party, you know, we'll call him like, shit, we'll actually pull out a name from the old D&D books, Tasselhoff, right?
Okay.
You know, we'll just use his name as an example. You know, like the entire group gets together, they get ready to go adventure. He's like, what about me? What about Tasselhoff? But uses this line almost before every adventure. Just like Zoidberg, you know, just, what about me?
But what about Zoidberg?
What about Zoidberg?
Why not Zoidberg?
One of the other ones that I came up with, actually, this is one of my ideas. I just remembered it because I wanted to play it in the game with Big Joe a few years back. Him and Mr. Price, really good role players, great friends. They were doing some comedy characters, and I was like, okay, I want to make an android character, but make him a bard. Right? And, like, the name came afterwards, and, of course, the name was just a fucking dead giveaway, and it's just, like, that one pinch of sugar too much on the cupcake for the comedy part. So, you know, I just, it was a little bit too much flavor, so the name needed to be changed, but the original concept is the android was mostly monk with a touch of sorcerer. So, and you could get away with this with feats, you know, really easily. So you can go just flat out monk, whatever. But monk was mostly for the ability to pull off tremendous poses. Right? Like the most awesome poses you would ever see on a album cover.
Or straight out of anime.
Or straight out of an anime. Like, he's standing on top of a hill that should be, like, totally precarious for anybody else. But he's up there, like, crane style, one hand, musical instrument in the other hand. And he's like, rawr, towards the sky. Total death metal cover. And the android character had his hair hanging all the way down to his waist. You know, like speed metal guitars, you know, the hair obscures the face. And the whole point of this monk is he also had skill in perform, but not like typical monks where it was acrobatics. His skill was in guitar. Exactly. He was an electric guitar. So if you go by Pathfinder rules, you can get away with it easy with the bloodline feats. And there's also a feat in there where you don't even need to be a fucking spellcaster to craft magic items. Broken as fuck.
Carrying on.
Carrying on, though. The whole point of this character is that it was essentially a monk with an electric guitar and electricity powers. Okay, so he's got his electric guitar. He's got his death metal hair. He's got his awesome album cover poses. So you can obviously see he's going death metal at this point. Except for when he sung. The thing is,
here's the curveball.
Here's the curveball to the character concept. Is whenever anything triumphant would happen, or just mundane that needed to be made more triumphant, he would kick in the door immediately, if door was said to be present, whip out his guitar and start just jamming out some awesome chords, and do power ballads.
Power ballads!
Yeah, like, because we can always, you know, when you're in the tavern, almost every person in every game at some point in time will try to bang the bar wench. And this is like the perfect opportunity for him, right? So somebody goes upstairs, they start banging the bar wench. You know, he waits about 5 minutes to know that they're getting hot and heavy in it. Clothes are probably off by now. And bam, door kicks open. Maybe he's got a smoke machine in the background kicking it up. Whips out his attorney. He's gonna make love to you, woman! It's power ballad!
You know, the big bad. What was the name that set this over?
The name that set it over, his name was going to be Impy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Android number 3. So, Impy 3. Yeah,
That was a little bit too much.
That was a little bit too much. But if I changed the name to anything else, it would be perfect. You know, combat starts out. They fucking win, and he just puts one leg up on a stump, whips out his guitar. Oh, yeah! We defeated him in the valley! And power ballad! Just everywhere he goes, always singing power ballads. And, of course, power ballads, by nature, are like 15 fucking minutes long. This guy could easily waste like 2 hours of everybody's day just standing around singing about nothing in the most metal way possible.
Aw, dude, that would have been a fun character to play with.
Yeah, it's basically like having a combination of Iron Maiden and Meatloaf in your party at all times. It's like the bastard love child of Meatloaf and Iron Maiden just following you around with an electric guitar singing about everything in that high-pitched hair metal's voice.
Nice. Yes.
Pillow Ballad! So, you know, if anybody who's listening wants to steal that idea and make a power ballad singing android, go for it.
Do it.
Do it!
Make it happen.
Make it happen. I want to see it happen. I'll probably never get to play him.
Aww,
oh, sad face. So, that was a goofy-ass concept I came up with a while back.
What was another one?
Oh, there's a lot of them out there. You're just, like, stuck on the writer's block because there's so many trying to push their way out the door.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so we've touched a little bit on bards.
Bards are easy. Too easy.
Monks, a little bit.
Imagine this. A bard with maxed out performance, all of his feats, all of his skills, in perform, right? All the shit in perform, or even by any other games that allow for a musician, just stack all that shit on top of each other, and then perform Aztec Death Whistle. Somehow, they have enough skill that they can use a Death Whistle, which is only meant to make one high-pitched, horrible noise, and yet, somehow, they've just replicated Mozart's number 40. In B minor, no less. See, bards are easy. You can just do crazy shit with them.
Right?
Wizards are kind of easy. I mean, depending on how you go with it, you mean just...
Well...
Like I mentioned in a former podcast, you know, you have the wizards, like, out of Kroll. And I mentioned that movie in a former podcast because I love the fuck out of that movie. The glaive is so awesome. And the special effects for at the time were pretty cutting edge. And almost everybody in that movie, except for, like, two actors, went on to do awesome shit elsewhere. I mean, you want to see young Liam Neeson? There you go.
Nice.
That was where he was learning a particular set of skills. By fighting a trans-dimensional, space-faring demon lord. That's how he got a particular set of skills to make himself a nightmare to other people.
Yeah, if you can face that, other people are pretty easy.
Oh, yeah. So, but the wizard in Kroll, he was a lot of fun because he was kind of like the fail wizard. You know, he's got his pocket full of notes, and like anytime something starts up, he's like a wizard at the fucking game table itself.
He pulls out notes.
Because we've all seen it, you know, combat breaks out, and like the person playing the wizard has to pull out like five fucking books.
Yep. Don't be that guy.
Yeah. I played wizards legit, and I'm like, just hold on, my turn. I know it's coming up. I just got to check the spell, and you're flipping through like five books. And the fucking wizard out of Kroll is just very so close to that.
Yep.
Something happens, and he dives into his knapsack, and he's just pulling little scripts of paper out and scrolls.
No,
and
not this one.
Not this one. No. And by the time he gets to what he's looking for, combat's practically almost over. Or he's run away and hid. You know, that's a perfect goofy concept. It's, you know, a wizard who just can't find shit. He may be great in power, tall in stature, wide in purpose, narrow in vision, whatever. It's just...
Finding his shit.
No,
I need a pinch of sulfur. Where's the sulfur?
Exactly. Wizards, you know, and it's painful to think about, you know, because as I mentioned the word wizards and, you know, make those weird noises, my brain is actually going into the pain.
Of misfiring.
No, just the way D&D wizards are written, especially D&D wizards.
Yep.
It's always an old dude or old hag with long fucking Gandalf beard in robes.
Dude, if I wanted to dress up like that, I'd just do it. If I want to be a magic power, I want to dress up like a fucking lord.
You can dress up like anything you want to, because wizards don't have to wear loose-fitting, durable, and modesty-colored clothing at all times. They can wear whatever the fuck they want to. They don't have to, by game system alone, they don't have to worry about armor.
They literally can't.
They pretty much can't wear armor unless they want to get screwed on their whole waving their hands around shit. And even if they try to bypass that and wear armor, but still not have to wave their hands around, they still get gimped. But at the same token, you can, if you want to play a goofy character, you know, you're a wizard, you could be a jester, for fuck's sake. That's loose-fitting clothing, meant for maximum mobility and movement.
Yeah.
You could be a total, like, transmutation-slash-illusion comedy wizard.
So, dude, that'd be pretty fun.
I mean, especially if you go decide to take a dark turn with it, you know, you're a slash assassin on top of that. You know, you're casting all of your illusions and doing stuff, and you cast an illusion that turns somebody into a newt. But you didn't really, because it's an illusion. And then later on, you turn somebody else into a newt, but they're like, oh, I seen him do this trick earlier.
And you're like, nope, stomp.
Dude's really a newt. Stomp. You know, so if you wanted to take a dark turn with that, you could go it real easy. And of course, you know, young training wizards, anybody who's been in college knows that students are like the least serious people.
Yeah, it's like, oh, great, we're doing yet another parody thing.
Well, I mean,
come on, guys, I've got notes I need to do.
Yeah, well, you go to,
fuck off for a bit and let me do
it. Everybody looks at wizards like Hermione for some reason, or the rest of the fucking school in Hogwarts. You know, where they're all very studious and very much bent on learning Wingardium Leviosa and whatever the fuck else.
Half of them are fucking Ron. Half of them are fucking Ron.
Half of them, well, maybe not fucking Ron. He is a ginger.
That depends on your interpretation, but like, Ron is addle-brained as fuck.
I would think that wizard school, you know, for young wizards, regardless of the system, is going to be more like the week before spring break.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's
people are going to be excited to be anywhere else but at school. Yep. But they're going to have tremendous amounts of knowledge because it's being poured in their head constantly. So when you get to a joke character, I'm thinking frat boy wizard.
Dude.
Yo, bro, keep drinking up. Chug, 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 chug. Finish off with some sparks, dude.
Or, like, you know, specializing in Tasha's hideous laughter and just make a bad joke track.
Yeah, I mean,
Tasha's hideous laughter.
A wizard underneath, like, the required age that they say wizards are in D&D, I could totally see them being, like, the least serious pranksters possible. Because they have magic powers. Why not use it? You make a landmine of irresistible dance and put it somewhere that's supposed to be serious, like in the local temple, and then laugh outside as everybody in the temple starts dancing on a day that they're supposed to be quiet and fasting. You're like, oh, dude, check it out. I can totally see wizards going total of frat bros.
I could also see,
in fact, that's a great concept. Frat bro wizard.
Let's do it, yeah.
Lambda, 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 dude. School of the llamas.
Warlocks. Warlocks have the easy gateway because they are pact bound. So
warlocks are easy mode because they are magical schoolgirls.
A little bit, but
by their power set alone, they're magical schoolgirls.
Here's the other thing. Your patron is a chaotic entity. That means, oh, we're gonna peel off the wagon wheel today. Or, hey, we're gonna turn that guy's face purple. Or, hey, we're going to make that plant attack that guy, because fuck that fucker. Everything is doable for a warlock because its patron asks it to. And of course, that means you can, in the immature circles, run around slapping dicks on people's faces, just like little stickers or some shit.
Actually, that reminds me of one character who always took metaphors a little too literal. that was our thing, is they could not, their character was not crazy or anything. Because, like, when you're making a goofy character, if they're crazy, they're less memorable, obviously. Because crazy, when you're doing
crazy shit, it's just, oh, he's just being crazy again.
Yeah, you're
it gets to the point where the orc in the sundress.
Kind of, but the orc in the sundress, I don't know, he has a legit reason. But when you're behind the table playing a crazy character, everybody knows you're playing that character more as stress relief. Because you got the excuse that, well, your character's unhinged, they can do whatever the fuck. Whereas if they're just normal people, it's cool. They're just venting a little bit. And we had one that was much like that, and they did not process metaphors at all. And it was the fighter and the druid who decided they were going to go drinking.
Oh, dear.
Right? So the druid, she gets up, and she's like, hey, we're going to paint the town red. Come with us. And player character's like, thinking about it. Thinking about it and be like, okay, I'll show up later. So halfway through, when the druid and the fighter were doing their drinking and stuff down at the local town, they were doing the 1 mile pub crawl basically in town. Finally, the next character shows up and she's got a bucket of red paint in her hand.
And a paintbrush.
With a paintbrush. And, you know, the other two are just, like, completely drunk. They're like, where are you at? And they're like, well, you said we were going to paint the town red. I've already started. And, you know, they take a look outside. And the rogue had literally painted, like, 4 buildings all red. And she got bored wondering where the other two were because they were supposed to be helping.
That's not what we meant.
So, you know, for goofy characters, you could always do, like, a little bit of Lost in Translation. And that was the theme of this character was... just metaphors didn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody would be like, oh, this wind cuts to the bone. She would, like, look to see the wound.
It's like, where? I want to see your bone.
Just, where's the wound? We're on adventure. You know, you shouldn't get wounded casually. Right? So she didn't understand metaphors. So whatever you said that was metaphorical in nature, she's just like,
gears. Like, you can hear the gears clicking in.
Yeah, the gears were all rusty up there and not quite catching on. So, yeah, she got fined for painting 4 buildings red. That was one of the adventures I happened to be there for. That was interesting. Nothing like calling in the sorcerer because he's got the most charisma to go, she's a bit slow. Here's some money. You can buy more paint. I'll even hire workers. Just please let her out of the dungeon. We've got a whole kingdom to rescue here.
All right. The comic relief paladin. Now,
those are rare.
This guy pulled it off. There was another player character in the group, also a paladin, and royalty. So, this dragonborn actual princess paladin, funny enough, little story there later.
Dovahkiin, I'm dropping shit on this thing.
Oh.
Putting that away.
Oh, nice. That's a disc golf thing. Neat. Anyway. She's, you know, an honorary captain of this paladin's order. This other character is a part of it. Righto, Capitan! Can you just stop? Never, Capitan! It was that kind of thing, right?
Ah.
But this was paired with this poor sod's just ungodly terrible rolls every time. For initiative, it was not uncommon for him to get between -2 and -3.
Ow, fuck. The dice are not friends of that character.
Not at all. Not at all a fan of that character. You know, and this character would just, like, give it 130% of everything and muff it most of the time.
Actually, oh, we got one.
So he would, like, yeah. You know, like, social situations, he'd be this grandiose trying thing. And, like, you can tell the character is trying. He's trying his best. He's trying. And it's just not working.
Speaking of grandiose and larger than life, you just reminded me of one. It's actually not D&D for goofy characters.
Ooh.
Yeah, we were doing a Robotech game.
Okay.
Right, so this is the old Palladium system when you got Veritex and Destroids and just giant mechanical destruction machines.
And you went stomping around.
This dude, his character, he was playing an alien race from a planet that had an unstable tectonic shelf.
Okay.
So the entire planet had a steady bass rhythm pumping all throughout the entire planet. And it was what they set their clocks to. It was when they knew it was nighttime. When they knew it was time to get up. It was just a steady boom, 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 boom kind of thing. You know, just a steady bass rhythm going on. 24 hours a day on his alien planet. For lack of better words, 24 hours.
At all times, whatever their hour clock says.
Now, here's where it got weird. Because of this unstable planetary shift, everyone had adapted to soak up the bass resonance, which they called the Funk. Yes. His planet's name was Funkatron. They were, and of course, you know, their people were in tune with being funky.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, they had, like, a dial on their survival suits when they left the planet because they couldn't live without the funk. If they had no funk, they would just die. So they had a dial on there, you know, it was just like, you know, mild funk, which was for everyday use, you know, that would not disturb other people around them. Then they could turn the dial about halfway up for combat system, combat situations.
Combat funk.
Combat funk, you know, so they could really get the funk flowing through them, you know. Funk all the way from the toes to the fingertips. Oh, I feel the funk.
I feel it.
And, of course, you know, when he was describing this to me, you know, before I got into the game proper, they actually had a third setting on that, which was for crisis situations. This was the I need to get home funk level.
E.T. phone home! E.T. phone home!
No, this was not labeled E.T. phone home. It was labeled George Clinton. Max level was just straight to George Clinton. And, of course, this guy was a mech pilot. So it got even more funky. Because his mech was easily recognizable as the only one out on the battlefield with a giant steel wool Brillo helmet. So, yes, we go out there with our big-ass mechs, and we're doing battle with the invaders. And as we're doing battle, you know, everybody else is being all serious. And then suddenly this dude in, like, a half cape and a giant Brillo helmet.
Giant Brillo fro. Let's call it like it is.
He called it a helmet. But, yes, it was a fro. It was there for diffusion against enemy lasers striking at the head. Or so he said, but... whatever. It was a giant Brillo fro and his little half cape. And he would show up and, like, do this, like, battle pose that was totally stylish. Just like, it's time for the battle to get funky. And he'd turn the dial up to halfway inter combat. So, it was a total comedy character that he was, you know, from a planet with an unstable tectonic shelf. They all were in tune with this superpower called the funk. And then, you know, you'll see his mech come into battle, which was, of course, painted, it was gold.
Green and red?
No, it was gold all around. Because, damn. And then it had, like, stripes down the outside of the arm and outside of the legs. Inside the stripes were black with stars that were white. So, and it looked, in the way, you know, he moved and stuff, it looked like he was wearing bell bottoms.
Yeah. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, so he basically show up with this giant, like, disco funk fucking mech and just start blasting away the enemies. And, like, the rest of combat, we're all trying to be serious. And he's like, I hit him with the funk cannon. It's just like, oh, Jesus, dude, you what? He's like, the funk cannon, they can't, if they don't respect the funk, they can't survive the funk. We're like, just fucking roll your dice, dude. So, yeah, you're not winning.
As he's describing this character, I'm slowly cracking up more and more and more. Just listening.
You're cracking up. I was there. I couldn't breathe for 2 days. This dude entered the battlefield and he's just like, time to get funky. Yeah, he'd shoot at, like, one of the enemies, you know, and of course, GM sometimes would show us the fucking pictures of people, you know, we're shooting at, like, their mechs and stuff. Because you need to see these things. You're like, hey, what model of Invid is that I'm shooting at? I need to know the weak points or whatever. And every once in a while he'd show us, like, the pilot or whatever. He's like, oh, damn, she is foxy. I'm gonna feel bad about this one, but the funk will cleanse her. It's like, Jesus fucking Christ, dude, just fire your fucking cannons. So, you're not limited to just D&D for crazy-ass characters.
Oh, that's fucking beautiful, though. Jesus Christ.
It was way beautiful, man. I wanted to stay in that game longer just because of the fact that he was talking about upgrading his mech with even more funky shit, like a giant medallion and stuff, and I'm just like, I want to see this! Yeah, just this mech come out, pose wearing a giant fucking funky medallion. It's like, yes, do it!
It's funktastic!
Oh, it's totally funktacular. I was definitely on board, though, when he told me that the third setting on a survival suit was George Clinton. Because at first, you know, he's like, oh, I'm from a planet called Funkatron. And, you know, the suit keeps me alive by pumping the funk through my body. And it turns it up a little bit. And he's like, that's for combat. You can actually hear the vibrations of my home planet. I'm like, what is GC for? And he's like, George Clinton. Boom. Da, da, da. And it's just like super funky. And I'm like, oh, fuck me. I got to see this character in action. So you don't have to play a fucking lunatic, man. If you want to do a concept character who's a lot of fun.
Pick one from another world.
It doesn't matter if you're playing Palladium or Pathfinder. Just whatever works, man.
Oh, dude.
Oh, he was from Funkitron. getting funky with the bass. Boom, 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 baby, boom.
Oh, goodness. You know what? Modern setting. Or actually, no. Medieval setting.
Medieval setting. Let's do it. We got 10 minutes left.
I want to see a bard with a synth.
Like actually, shit, dude.
I said something.
You said something. Not a synth. Not a synth. I was walking home last night, and I realized that my new character I'm making gets the perform skill. So naturally, I'm thinking goofball shits. Like, what am I going to make my tiny poppet have a perform skill in? And at first, I was thinking, like, a poppet is 1 foot tall, so if I get a 2 foot rod, you know, about an inch in diameter, I can just put it up on the table, and my poppet can pole dance. Even though my poppet is a dude.
Doesn't matter.
My poppet can pole dance, right? Just entertain everybody by pole dancing.
Stick it on
and
the table.
And then I was thinking, what if I gave my poppet perform in something else, like tuba?
Oomplat.
How big is a tuba? A tuba is bigger than a poppet by about 2 feet. And weighs more than a poppet by about 10 pounds. How the fuck would it play it? And then, you know, it's just shit got weirder and weirder.
Tag team.
Like, piano.
Dude, pipe organ.
Pipe organ, exactly. And then it hit me, going on synth. I wrote it down in my notes on the character sheet. Legit. Right over there on my desk.
Oh, I'm gonna do this.
My poppet has perform roto grinder. And these are twisted-ass, weird fucking instruments that are fairly modern day, don't exist in... Not only is it huge, not only is it electrically powered, not only is it an engineering marvel to...
Accomplish.
To accomplish, especially in medieval standards. How the fuck is my poppet going to play it? This is one of the most impossible things for not just somebody in that era to play, but a poppet. It's just... The strings are like 4 feet long. It's electrically powered. There's no outlets in Galarion. There's no outlets in Faerun. Greyhawk has no power outlets. Where the fuck is he going to play it? How is he going to haul it around? The thing weighs like 10 times he does. And that's for a small one. So yeah, synth would be awesome. But a synth is... The problem with a synth is it's too easy.
You know what?
I mean, you can just, like, hit one button, press another button, and boom, you got a backbeat. But if you want to make it really awesome and you're playing, like, a necromancer, I actually did this with a necromancer for one game. I wanted to do it more, but...
Reasons.
Is my entire entourage that followed me around of skeletons, because they were the right size. Now, a synth would have made this even easier. Because, you know, press one button, press another, you got a backbeat, press one button, press another, you got a tune flute going on. Now, my skeletals that followed me around played drums. One of them tried really badly to play a flute, because you kind of needed that.
You need the lips for that.
You need the lips for that. A couple of them more were violinists, one of them was on snare, and they would follow me around as my theme band. So I'd go walking the town, and my skeletons would just follow behind playing musical instruments as my theme band. Well, I'd, like, do this walk where I'd, like, bounce with one shoulder back and forth while keeping the other one steady, like I was all badass and shit. You know, I was a necromancer who fronted everywhere he went, because necromancy early on was weak as shit, so he just played it up like he was better than he was. You know, how many necromancers have a theme band? That's right. Boom! Got nothing else, but I got a theme band.
Nice.
Yeah. Synth would have made that so much easier. Of course, that would also be kind of a fun one for a bard. What do you play? A synth. Battle begins. What do I plug in? Shit. Especially, you know, if your synth player, bard, or musician is based off of more like the early 80s kind of music scene, where here in America and in England, synth players were the joke. If you had a guy with a keyboard on stage, everybody would look at him like, that guy's just a glorified button pusher. And now they're almost a staple of any band.
All right. An illusionist is performances are based around pheromones, specifically smells.
But pheromones are actually, like, chemicals, not smells.
They might not know that.
I'm having a hard time following you on this one.
So, an illusionist who specializes in scents. But what they would do is they would, like, load these scents into, I don't know, bagpipe or an air cannon. So, you know, like those dinky toys you'd pull back the plastic and just let it go.
You know, you just gave me a great idea for a magic item.
A foomp cannon?
No, a t-shirt gun.
Yep.
You know, like they have at the stadium. Sporting arenas and stuff? It would do, like, 1 point of damage tops if done in close range, but outside of the, like, 20-foot range increment, it would just be, like, you get hit with a shirt. Half of one. You get hit with a half a point of damage. Round down. But no, it's just like, that'd be fucked up. It's like, have like the penultimate cheerleader kind of dude who like is all amped. He's like, woo, our team's out to whip your ass. And just, boom, fires a t-shirt at him. Boom. Anybody who survives gets a t-shirt. It's like, completely useless in combat otherwise.
Right?
Just t-shirt cannon guy.
Dude.
He goes out to the local jousting tournament, just starts launching t-shirts into the crowd.
Just for the sake of it.
Just, woo, t-shirts. Blue beer cans! Woo!
You know what? It would be even better if he was a tailor. Because that's about the only way you could actually afford to make that a realistic thing.
No. No, no. You can make that easy.
Really?
Oh, dude, come on. I can nuke kingdoms. I think I can build a t-shirt machine. You take the spell Fabricate. That's your core spell.
Get
yourself a wooden box of some sort. You have a hopper on top of the box of the components required to make shirts of that era.
Fabric.
Fabric, right?
Basically, you put a bolt skein on.
Yeah, you put a bolt skein on the top of it. You put the bolt in, and you roll down the top of the bolt until it gets into the feed hopper. Goes in, and like every 10 minutes, ka-chunk, a t-shirt, or a shirt with your logo pops out of the front. As long as you keep loading fresh cloth into it, it'll keep just popping out a new shirt every 10 minutes. Bam! And then T-Shirt Cannon Guy has unlimited ammo.
Nice.
Hell, he could just run a tube to this, so that, like, the T-Shirt also has a collection port on it on the back, so it just, you know, falls down into a collector bag on its side, and he just picks a shirt out of the bag, tosses it in, boom! So you just see this guy with... And so instead of, like, the standard hanging off of his back, like Japanese style, where they would have the big flag on their back, no, he's just got a bolt of cloth hanging off there. Just constantly feeding down into the box, into the shit, and making a new t-shirt, and just boom, right into combat.
Nice.
Woo!
That would be hilarious.
For king and country!
Get your t-shirts, yeah!
Get your t-shirts. Nuts! Salted nuts!
Dude, that would be a kind of an interesting rogue, actually.
Well, that'd be a great rogue.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like, if you put, like, an undercarriage on your gun... You know that was like a crossbow launcher?
Yeah.
You can go to aim at somebody, get ready to fire a t-shirt at them, and pull like one trigger just half a second before the other one. So everybody sees a t-shirt fly through the air, they just don't notice that like right behind it is a bolt. So as the guy goes to grab the t-shirt, boom, he gets hit with a bolt and falls over. He's like, whoop, that t-shirt was a bit heavier than thought. And keeps on going. Just makes a quick bluff check to write it off as the guy got hit in the fucking xiphoid process with a t-shirt. He'll be okay.
He'll be fine.
The problem with that rogue is he'd be really easy to spot. He's running down the street with a giant bolt of cloth waving around on his back.
All you gotta do is throw a t-shirt over top.
Just throw a t-shirt over it.
So you've already got them, right? You just... Ah. Severe blessings of Nurgle. Ooh, he actually spoke.
Ooh, Nurgle spoke.
No, Moniker.
Oh, Moniker's awake?
Yeah, Moniker got hit by Nurgle.
Oh, the Nurgle.
That's less fun.
Yeah, that's why he's out of the show today, is because he's got issues.
Nurgle blessings.
He's got Nurgle blessings. Get better, dude.
Yep. I think, no, and, but like, an interesting one would be, that scent-based illusionist. No visuals, no sound, well, maybe a little bit of sound. But all just various fart gun.
You know how I would change that, though?
Hmm.
Instead of being straight up fart gun, because this fart gun is easy as it is, with Stinking Cloud as your core spell.
Pretty much.
I would go more along the line of, like, those elitist fucks that you see on commercials, like, Ed Vidal is assumed, if you don't look good, we don't care. Right? It's just, our perfume is the greatest. You know, just totally a fop about it. Just like,
all the way.
You know, just obsession for halflings. What? What is a scent designed specifically for halflings? You're not a halfling, so fuck you. Just what? But we do have a scent for orcs, too. If you're not an orc, fuck you. Just totally, like, upper-class New York thought process about salesmanship. You know, where if you don't buy their goods, you're just another pleb and living in the sewer. You know, but all their scents have, like, if you're doing that illusionist, you know, every scent they would launch, it would have to have, like, one name to it.
Yep.
You know, couldn't be, like, a really cool name. It just could be, like, one. You know, it's like, Attrition by Gnome Industries. What?
Yep. Dude, I'm adding perfumeries to any world just for this fucker.
Yeah, you just... I would definitely go more the New York style perfume route with this, where they just act like, because they sell toiletries, they're better than everybody else. Oh, great! You're a high priced toilet water salesman. Whoopty shit! You know what it's made out of, right? You're selling me fucking whale bile, dude. Don't act all upper crust, because I know where that comes from. This is just like, I don't know, running into like some dude in a trailer park who's a beer gourmet.
Yep.
I like PBR from 1995. It has the best flavor. Just, what? No. No. Oh, that'd be a fucked up character concept.
Oh?
Yeah, like a professional beer taster. That's their only reason for adventuring, is they just go from town to town testing beers. Whenever they get into a town, they always talk shit about whatever beer they're drinking, no matter how good it is, because Carlac 1912 is much better than this swill. Don't tell anybody I've never drank it, though. Just act like a professional wine taster, but for shit beer.
That you would know? Be pretty funny.
I just want a malt, you know, like... Yeah, like a total beer snob, like we have in the modern day here with all our fucking microbreweries.
Yep.
You just get, like, this fucking D&D beer snob. That would be something.
Even better, they're a druid.
A beer snob druid? I can taste the hops before they were even born. They were brewed to perfection before they were even born. This beer is sublime. Too bad it's shit. What? Because, of course, they gotta talk crap about everything they drink, because it's nowhere near as good as, you know.
Nature makes.
Nature made fucking 594 from the King's Vineyard Brewery or whatever.
Or mead.
Or mead.
Yeah, no, like, it has to be a druid if you're going to do the beer tester. That just, it adds it that one notch more.
I know, I if I was going to do, like, something like that, it was, like, a really off-the-wall theme, though, maybe somebody who's obsessed with sticky.
You know, just, sorcerer.
Like, a sorcerer or something, you know, like, when you're a little kid and you encounter a new sensation, you're usually like, what the fuck?
Whoa.
Except for maybe, like, farts and the sound of nails being on chalkboards or a fork across a plate.
Yeah.
Usually when you're that age, if it's a new encounter, you're like, holy shit. And you just, like, you toy with it more. Like when you first figure out that running your hand across grass is like running your hand across a dog, only the fur is really large. So you make a character who's, like, obsessed with sticky. They've just never grown out of that toddler phase of, you know, new experiences. And trying to make everything they can sticky.
Yes.
You know, so you just, like, maybe a backpack filled with some sort of fluid. You know, they just spray things with it just because, you know. And, you know, afterwards they just touch it because it's sticky. You know, just like. Because sticky on wood feels different than, you know, sticky on dirt.
Or spider webs. That's a different kind of sticky. That's new.
It's like that, you know, somebody who's just addicted to tactile sensation and that, and sticky happens to be that trigger. And they can't stand smooth.
Just, no. Sticky.
And then, you know, and of course, you know, keep it completely non-lewd just so it's even weirder.
Yeah.
Because non-lewd is just like, oh, toilet humor. You know, it's all sticky. But if it's just somebody who's just fascinated by the sensation of stickiness.
Yeah.
And it's non-lewd, that would just be, like, weird.
I could see sorcerers doing that.
Yes. Even not a sorcerer. Can you imagine an alchemist doing that? That's the whole reason they become an alchemist?
New kinds of sticky.
That's not as weird as, say, I would go with... Oh, shit, what was that class? Oh, it's kind of like it's the least sticky class, too. like, I don't know, maybe, like, shit, you want to go weird? Go, monk.
Yeah, a sticky monk.
A sticky monk would be weird.
And it would be kind of less effective when you think about it, because you can't pull away unless you're really, really good at it.
Well, can you imagine...
But at the same time, if you, can you imagine... monk, you slap the sticky on, say, the sole of their shoe while they come up to kick you for something. You're just like, sticky. Ooh, that one's a good one.
Yeah.
Splat.
Can you imagine, like, the first time a character like this, and, you know, shit, you can make him a blood rager. That would just be weird. You know, just, I'm fascinated by sticky things. Rawr, blood rage, kill it all. Ooh, sticky. Got it. Ooh, that's weird. You know, that would be a freaky-ass class, but... No, just imagine the first time this character ran into a mimic.
Oh, God, yes.
They would try to befriend it. They'd be like, stop, keep your treasure. I just want to touch you. What?
You're so sticky.
And of course, it's not a loot. They just want to put their hands on it, and you just get that tactile sensation, because it's weird. It's just something in their brain doesn't quite understand it, and the fascination has never gone away.
Sticky. Yes, that would, I like what, sticky.
That would just... Fuck a blood rager, you know, who you expect to be like a barbarian who's amped up to the 10th level and just destroy everything. And just, ooh, a mimic! Must touch it!
I'm gonna hug the mimic! You're gonna hug a mimic. I'm gonna hug a mimic!
Exactly! This would be like the worst character to have in a dungeon filled with oozes, puddings, and mimics.
And slimes.
Slimes, and maybe some insects. They would be
putting... And spiders.
Well, maybe spiders. Yeah,
spider webs.
Yeah, they'd be busy putting their hands on everything.
So, and dude, probably taking damage for it.
Yeah, possibly taking damage, but, you know, it's just fascination. That would be a weird character.
That would be a fun character.
Yeah. All right, well, we're hitting the end of this, so any last wacky characters out of your camp?
Well, you could pull the thinks he's something else trope if you do it right. For example, Kenku. They live by mimicry. Well, if they're raised in an environment where they don't have things to mimic, they have to learn on the fly. The other thing is if they're raised, say, you get a Kenku chick, you know, still like hatchling, that's then raised by, say, a bunch of orcs.
They have a trait for that called adopted?
Yes, but you don't take it. You deliberately don't take
it. Okay, fair enough.
It's just like some orc kid picks up this little egg. He's like, I don't know what this is, but I want to keep it. And all of a sudden, you've got this Kenku child who is just raised up as a pet. And then when they realize it can talk and walk around and stand, they're like, oh, this thing could be neat. Teach it to do tricks.
Sorry, dude. Wow, I got an idea based off of what you just said. A Kenku.
Yes?
Who's grown up in a chicken coop.
Oh, dear.
They take levels in monk. Or actually, not monk. Ninja.
Yep.
They take levels in ninja. And because they look like the other chickens, people always confuse them for a chicken or whatever. So the Kenku was treated more like a chicken than an intelligent person. Until they started getting class levels. They're like, oh, it's not a chicken. It's actually a little bird dude. And then... For your opening intro, when you introduce your character to everybody else in the group, you have to play Chicken Attack. That's right. The yodeling Japanese dude talking about a chicken ninja. Chicken Attack! There you go. Boom.
Oh, see,
that's the shit you just spawned in my brain. All right. Well, that's it for me. I got some, you know, those are the weird ideas that are off the top of my head. So
they're going to be fun. Have fun with them!
Have fun with them! And use MP if you want to for those power ballads.
Powermelon!
This has been the Blunt Force Gamers, at least two of us. Available on Podbean, iTunes, Android, Facebook, blah, 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 other things. Google us. It's that easy.
You can find us. We can be found with Google. That's it.
Yep, just Google us. It's easy. So, that's me. Game Goblin out.
Cousin Ken, through the skies. Fucking chicken dance.
Are you ready?
Different.